Again, the scripture reading comes from Psalm 119, verses 59 and 60. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments.
Good to be with everyone again tonight. Hope everyone had a good afternoon. Most of us are familiar, probably all of us, with the Bible character David. He is one of the great personalities in the Bible. And most of you know that he was a wonderful man in a lot of ways. He walked in the ways of God, the Bible tells us. He had an upright heart. In fact, the Bible tells us that he was a man after God's own heart. In fact, in one of the places where that is stated, it is uttered by God himself. And so we know that David was an outstanding man in a lot of ways. But, of course, he was a sinner just like the rest of us. He sinned from time to time. The most popular sin that he committed, obviously, is with Bathsheba. And, of course, he committed adultery with her. But then he even followed that up with the murder of her husband, Uriah. And at least for all practical purposes. But David knew how to handle sin. That is, what to do when he did sin. And I'm not now simply speaking about the sin that I made reference to, but just in general, he was a man who sinned from time to time, and he knew what to do about it. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 119. I want to read these words again here in Psalms 119, verses 59 and 60. Now, let me just say, we can't be sure that David wrote this psalm, but many scholars believe that he did. But anyway, at verse 59, Psalms 119 at verse 59, there are four things that are stated that really should help all of us if we ever go astray. So let's look at these four things in these two verses that we heard read a moment ago. At the very beginning, verse 59, it says, "When I think on my ways," and that points, of course, to self-examination. And the fact of the matter is, whenever we go astray from God, one of the first steps, if not the first step, is considering our ways, stopping to examine ourselves. And that, of course, is a very important measure. Turn your Bible over to Ezekiel chapter 18 just for a moment. And this particular chapter, it's a very familiar chapter to most of us, at least a few verses in it, because it teaches us that God is not going to punish one person for another person's sin. And those are the verses within this chapter that we usually read, verse 4 and verse 20 and the surrounding verses. But I want you to drop down to verse 27. In Ezekiel chapter 18 at verse 27, it says, "Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed," and he is describing there, if not repentance itself, at least the fruit of repentance, the turning away from sin. And by the way, we recognize, of course, that repentance is always needed and necessary. Whenever you go astray, you can't get back right with God. You cannot be redeemed. You cannot be reconciled without repentance. Acts chapter 2, you remember at verse 36 in that first gospel sermon where Peter told the Jews, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." And most of you know what comes next. It says that their hearts were pricked. That is, of those Jews there on the day of Pentecost. And when you stop and think about it, that really points to the idea of self-examination. That their hearts were pricked. Why? Because they began to look at their lives after they heard these words from Peter. But what did it lead to? They asked the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And of course, Peter said, repent and be baptized. But there's always the repentance. And so we see that over and over again. That certainly is necessary. But notice here in Ezekiel at chapter 18. So it says again that at verse 27, a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right. He shall save his life. But look at verse 28. Why? Because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Notice again, he considered. He considered what? Obviously, he considered his life. He considered his relationship with God. He considered his ways. And again, that involves self-examination. The most popular passage that deals with this is the powerful parable of the Good Samaritan. In Luke chapter 15, we read a little bit about that, beginning at verse 11. Luke chapter 15 and at verse 11. Luke, the 15th chapter, and at verse 11, it says, and he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of my property that is coming to me. And, of course, we recognize that as a very selfish request. Like, we know that that property, his inheritance, was going to be his, and everybody knew it, but not until after the father died. And so for all practical purposes, once again, he is basically saying to his father, give me what's mine, what I'm going to have after you die anyway. Very, very selfish kind of attitude that he has. But we notice that it says that the father gave him the property. He divided his property between them. And so he gives him what he wants. Because there's no reason to try to keep the boy at home when he's made up in his mind, he wants to go anyway. It's kind of the way God treats us. Like, if we want to leave God, God is not going to force us to stay with him. He'll let us go. He'll never stop loving us, but he'll let us go. And so that's the case with this man. And so it goes on at verse 14. It says, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. Here's verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And we know the rest of it, don't we? He did indeed go back home. And his father received him back. In fact, it's a picture of the father waiting for him, looking and waiting probably every day for his son finally to come back home. And when he sees him, he runs after him and hugs him. But I want you to notice here again, where did it all begin? His return home at verse 17, when he came to himself. That self-examination, it's almost always the first step in a return to God. We have to examine ourselves. Now, there is a sense in which all people should examine themselves. Those who haven't obeyed the gospel. You might be here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel. Certainly, there's a time for self-reflection. There's a time for you to take inventory of your life and your relationship with God, and that is clearly important. But even for those of us who are Christians, we need to constantly examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13 at verse 5, Paul made that point. Examine yourself to see whether or not you're in the faith. You say, well, aren't they? We know they're in the faith. They have obeyed the gospel. No, you can leave the faith. And Paul recognized that. And sometimes, as we talked a little bit this morning, sometimes you can drift away from God and not even know it. But that won't happen if you constantly examine yourself. And so we need to really make a practice of self-examination. But when you do go astray, sometimes, again, you may not even realize it. If you examine yourself, you realize, I need to do something about the situation that I am, And so, again, the psalmist, David, made a habit of that. So he says, when I think on my ways, now notice what he says next. He says, I turn my feet to your testimonies. What does that tell us? That tells us that the psalmist turned to the right source as he examined his ways, as he thought about his life. He turned to examine things with the testimonies of God. And whenever you examine yourself, it is imperative that you use the right source, that you turn to the right source to see where you stand before God. Too many times, people turn to the wrong source. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Turn your Bibles over there. It's a very enlightening passage. It shows, I think, human behavior in a lot of cases. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul calls out the Corinthians because they were not turning to the right source as they considered their lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and at verse 12, he says, not that we dare to classify or to compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. How popular is that? We probably all have made that mistake. But this is what the Corinthians were doing on a regular basis. They thought they were so great spiritually. They were filled with pride. And one thing that kept them going down that road is that as they thought about their lives and what they were spiritually, they were measuring themselves by themselves. That's the wrong standard. It may well be that you can compare yourself to someone else in the body of Christ, and maybe you can look at that and say, you know, I'm stronger than that brother or that sister, so I'm okay. That doesn't mean you're okay. It just means you're stronger than that brother or that sister. That's the wrong source. We have to make sure we turn to the right source. And the wrong source is not one another. The wrong source is not gospel preachers. How many times will people simply turn to that source? In fact, in Galatians, you remember chapter 2 at verse 11. We'll not read that now, but that was the time when Paul had to rebuke Peter. Because you remember he was eating with the Jews or the Gentiles. I'll get the story right in a minute. But he was eating with the Gentiles until the Jews came from Jerusalem. And he withdrew himself. And so Paul had to rebuke him about that. But what's interesting was that even Barnabas and others followed him in that. As if Peter was the standard. And sometimes that's just the case. People follow preachers. And that's just not the right source. And we could give all kind of examples of the wrong source that people sometimes turn to. It's not the majority. Sometimes people will look at their lives and see where they are spiritually. And if it's where the majority of people are, they conclude, I must be okay. That's the wrong source. There's only one right source, and you know what it is. It's the Word of God. John 12 and at verse 48. That's the standard by which we will be judged. And so we all need to engage in self-examination. It's a good and healthy practice. But make sure you're using the standard of God's Word and nothing else when you're trying to determine where you are in your relationship with God. Turn to the right source. But let's look at a third thing. Again, back over in Psalms 119, this time, verse 60. At verse 60, the psalmist says, I hastened and do not delay. That is very, very critical and important. Again, if this be David, he sinned many times because he was just like the rest of us. We all sin many times. But he did the right thing when he sinned. He would examine himself. He would think on his ways. He would turn to the Word of God to be the standard that he would use. And when he discovered that he had done something wrong or something was amiss in his life, he would turn without haste. He would immediately return to God. And that, of course, is the right action. I hastened and do not delay. If you look at your life, if you take inventory of your own life, you discover something is amiss. Don't put it off. That is getting right with God. Be like the psalmist and say, I hasten and do not delay. We have preached many sermons over the years about time and how brief it is and fleeting it is. We know that to be a fact. James tells us, as you know, that life is like a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes. We have other exhortation in scriptures that just remind us that when we hear God, we ought not turn away from His voice. And we know God doesn't speak to us directly. He speaks to us through His Word. But when we hear His Word, we ought to be pricked in our hearts like they were on the day of Pentecost, and we ought to do something about it immediately. You might remember in the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, turn over there just for a moment. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Listen to what the Hebrews writer says along these lines. Hebrews chapter 4, and the verse is 7. Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 7, it says, and again, he appoints a certain day. Now watch, today, saying through David, so long afterwards, and the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. That's always the best day to get right with God, today. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes when it comes down to this. Today is the day that you ought to act. I remember again over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you might recall. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and beginning at verse 1, the Bible says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verses 1. He says, working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I have listened to you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We need to be like David. We need to be like the psalmist, who did not delay. Whenever he discovered that something was wrong in his life, something again was amiss, he did not delay. What about you? Is there something undone in your life? Is there something separating you from God this very night? Do you like the psalmist? And do something about it this very day. But there's one more thing very quickly. Turn over to Psalms 119 verse 60 one more time and notice how he concludes. He says simply, to keep your commandments. In other words, at the end of the day, if we're going to return to God, when we go astray, it takes more than just self-examination. That might be the beginning, but it can't be the end. If we find that we're not right with God, we understand we need to use the right source, all of that. But at the end of the day, we need to obey God. We need to keep His commandments. James, in James chapter 1, emphasizes that we need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Hearing is great, and hearing is necessary. Again, on the day of Pentecost, it was the hearing that first caused those individuals to turn to Christ. They never would have turned to Christ if they didn't first hear. That's why even in obeying the gospel, we always begin the five steps. The first step is hearing. You have to hear. So that's important. But if you stop right there, you're not going to be any better off. Whenever you examine yourself, you might find something is not right. But then the question is, what are you going to do about it? the psalmist made up in his mind that he was going to keep the commandments of God. It is the only way that we can be right with him. If you've gone astray, we hope that you'll do the right thing. We hope that you will repent, as we said earlier, that is certainly necessary, that you will return to God. But that involves keeping his commandments. You need to act even tonight. If you're not a child of God, of course, that it involves obeying the gospel. And not only do you have to hear, but you have to believe and repent and confess and be baptized. That's how you keep the commandment of God. If you are a child of God, you need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you. But you have to do what's right. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. You have the opportunity to get right with God. Follow the example of the psalmist. Do not delay. Obey God and do it right now as we together stand and sing.